But I want God to bless us tonight and just lift us up. I've got a message I believe God has given me. Listen to what the Bible tells us in that book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 7. He said, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, for behold, I have set thee before an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. And Lord, we ask God that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, I believe we're going to get something tonight. Glory. I want to talk to you tonight for a few moments on a subject I'd simply entitle The Key. Amen. Now, before I go any farther, we appreciate Brother Wayne Newbern being with us tonight. I saw him come in the back door, said, you picked the wrong night, we sing next week. Amen. So tonight you get to hear me preach. I don't know what that means, but Brother Wayne's with the Gideons, those of you who don't know who he is. Amen. But we appreciate him coming, being with us tonight. He said he would be back next week for the fellowship and singing. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about the key. The Bible tells us, God said, I've set you before a door. Amen. I want you to realize tonight you are sitting face to face with God. Nobody else can close that door. You are the only one that can shut you away from God. You're the only one that can close the door between you and God. The devil cannot cut you off from God. He cannot stop you from access to God. Come on, church. Some of y'all ought to get excited about that. Had a guy tell me, said, the devil's been keeping me from my blessings. He can't do that. That is biblically and completely spiritually impossible. The only person that can cut you off from God is you. And as long as you keep that door open, Jesus said, not only if I give you an open door, but if you close it, I'm standing there knocking. Amen. Because that's the end of this third chapter. And he's writing to the church to say, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in unto him. I will sup with him. I will bless him. So, church, we've got an open door policy tonight that tells me I've got a right to God. Could you say amen? Glory. I want to talk to you tonight about this key. He talks about the church, and he said, I want to write to you because I want to talk about the one that's holy, the one that's true, the one that has the key of David. Amen. Now, this key is important because it gives you access. Amen. Keys unlock doors and give you access, and if you got the right key, you can unlock any door. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I used to have a pass key. There wasn't too many doors I couldn't slip it into and turn it, twist it just a little bit, and pop the tumblers and unlock the door. Amen. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Amen. You know, a few months ago, Alex needing a lock on his back door, and I wanted to get one. I told him I'd key it like that. Well, my brother's a locksmith. I carried it over, and we're sitting there working on it. And he's pulled a thing apart, and all of a sudden, he's got a cylinder he can't get into. And he's sitting there looking at me. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. I've been to school. I've studied these things. He said, what is it? And I looked at him. I said, you know, it says it's a smart lock. I said, it's smarter than me and you already. We got the thing, put it back together, and looked up, and there's a little metal thing. Now, if you buy these locks, you want to rekey them, all you got to do is slide this little metal thing in beside the key that goes to that lock, pull that key out, twist it halfway, stick another key in, pull it back up, and pull it out, and it totally rekeys it to the new key. Glory. You know, I could have some fun with that if I had somebody had them locks on their house. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we need a key that works. And what he's talking about is getting the key that works. Now, I don't want to lose you, but we got to back over to Isaiah to get into my sermon where I can tie this thing together to show you what happens if we get somebody with the wrong line gets a hold to the key. But in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 1 through 3, I want you to hear the words of Isaiah as he's talking about something that's going on to the people of Israel. He said, the burden of the valley of the vision, what aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops, that thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with a sword, nor dead in battle. For all thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from afar. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with your sermon? I'll get to it in just a second. All of a sudden, the Persians have come against the Israelites. They're stuck in the city. Notice what it said. All of your men that have died have not died in battle. You know what's wrong with them? They're starving to death. Because the man that's got the key won't use it to open up the treasury. Was there food in the city? Plenty of food in the city. Was there ability to fight? There was armor they were not using. But the guy that had the key was the one holding up the whole thing because he wasn't where he needed to be with God. And because of that, he didn't believe God could replenish the supply, so he wouldn't turn loose of what he had. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with your sermon. Yes, it does. Go to the 15th verse. There's this guy named Shebna who has come in and taken over the treasury. Shebna is not a Jew. He does not belong in the position he's in, but the king of the Jews has turned around and cut a deal with the enemy, and he's let Shebna come in and take control of the treasury. And because of that, was he owed the other king taxes. So the king put his man Shebna in to keep up with the money flowing through Israel so he would know how much taxes the king was supposed to get. The problem is Shebna declares himself a scribe, puts on the robes of a Jewish leader, goes down and digs him out a sepulcher where all the leader's sepulchers were. That's where he's going to be buried. He's, in other words, made himself look and act like a leader of the synagogue. Can I tell you, we got people in church who act like they're really where they need to be with God. They act like everything's all right, but can I tell you, they've got the treasury locked up, and we've got people that are dying around them. We've got people who are starving around them. Can I tell you, God is tired of churches that will not let go of the treasury. God is tired of churches that will not share the blessings God has given them. And it's time the church stood up and said, we're going to open up the treasury. We're going to release what God's given us. And we're going to let God have his way in the community around us and in our families. Could you say amen? This is what it said in the 15th verse. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto the treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here? To whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewed thee out a sepulcher here, and hath hewn thee out a sepulcher on high, and that graveth a habitation for himself in a rock. For behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. Now, church, let me tell you something. This guy Shebna has done got himself messed up. But we got folks in the church do the same thing he does. God blesses them and they never share the blessing. Come on, church. You run around people every day you pass that needs to hear the word of God, know a God that can do something in your life. And can I tell you what's really wrong with the church's influence in the world? When people see us fall apart just like they do, they figure we ain't got a God that's any more than what they got. Come on, church. Now, you don't want to be in Shebna's shoes for his socks. Hello? That's an old saying. I'm sure some of y'all understand that. But I want to show you something. When you get God mad enough he wants to slam dunk you, you in trouble. And I know some of you sitting there saying, now, preacher, you just using that. Listen to the next verse. 18th verse. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but that kind of sounds like going to slam dunk him, don't it? You got to get bad off for God to want to bounce you around like a ball. But he said, God's going to bounce you like a ball. Amen. Let me tell you something. God said, I'm about tired of somebody plugging up the treasury. I'm tired of God's power not getting released into the community. I'm tired of God not being able to move. Let me tell you something, church. We need to realize when people come to this building and they're hurting, they don't need a song and dance. They don't need somebody to get up here and get them twicked up real good so they'll shout a little bit and then go to the house. They need a deliverance. They need a word of God. They need a move of God in their life. We need to understand there's a world around us falling apart. They're looking for answers. It's not just a quick fix, but it's something that's going to keep them going, going to change their life forever. And we need to get back to that place where we understand it is not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. And if we become a church that moves in the anointing, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and will set the captive free. Hallelujah. Listen. The Bible tells me Shebna's over there, got it all locked up, won't let it go. God said, I'm going to get rid of you. This is what he said in the 20th verse of the 22nd chapter. It shall come to pass in that day that I will carry my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with a robe and strengthen him with a girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judea, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulders, so that he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Notice what he said, Shebna, I'm going to take your robe. Well, what's that robe? It's a sign of your royalty. And I am going to give it to that guy because he deserves it. I'm going to get my man, and I'm going to put my man in charge. And I'm going to give him your authority. He said, not only that, I'm going to give him your girdle, your power, your anointing. That you wear around your waist is what you put your sword on. It's what helps hold your britches up. Glory. Hello? It represents the ability to wage battle. He said, I'm going to put your authority on him, but also I'm going to give him your ability to fight. And he's going to take that robe and he's going to do something with it. But I want you to notice something about this key of David. See, the key represented the size of the treasury. In the day we're talking about, when treasurers got together, you can understand the size of the kingdom by the size of the key the treasurer had around his neck, because it was a sign of honor to have a big key. Hello? You didn't want to go to the treasury department with just a little key hanging around your neck, because they go, he don't have a problem keeping his books. Glory. He said, what's that got to do with anything? Read it. And he will lay it upon his shoulders. This dude's got a key he can't wear around his neck. He's toting it on his shoulder. Huh? He's got a key that he got. Oh, come on, church. Y'all may not believe my wife's got purses like that. I'm serious. She gets on a plane, they want her to check them. Glory. Amen. Smile. Listen. You see, the problem we've got is that too many of us have lost the value of the treasury. See, we keep thinking the treasury is going to run out. We don't understand we've got an inexhaustible treasury. Hello? It ain't running out tomorrow, next week, or the week after. It's going to hang with us for a while. Could you say amen? Listen, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus has just come out of the coast of Caesarea Philippi. I don't know if y'all understand that, but Caesarea Philippi is known in ancient history as the gates of hell. He literally stands at the gates of hell and he makes a question. He said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist and Elijah, and others said Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, church, there were a lot of people trying to figure out who Jesus was. Can I tell you that's the problem we got right now? We got some thinks he's a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and once a year they get excited and want to run to church on Christmas. To be, oh, I love him. And you just showed up to get a present. Glory. Then we got some others show up once a year because they want to worship a guy hanging on a cross. And they'll show up, but they really just want to wear the nice clothes, let everybody see the new ones they got. Nod your head, church. That's good preaching. You said you preach it to the choir. Why? Somebody might have slipped in, don't normally show up. Glory. We got others. They got a little brother. Just, you know, sits down beside them, walks with them. Can I tell you what's wrong with that theology? If your God ain't no bigger than you, what good is he in a fight? Come on, church. We had a dude show up in Buell one time and appointed himself as our constable. You know, Alabama used to have constables, and thank God they got rid of most of them. They used to have to be elected, but this guy wasn't elected. He just showed up. Got him a Barney Fife car. I'm serious. It was an old police car. Had the round red light in the middle. I'm talking about this thing was ancient. I believe it could have been Fred Flintstone's. He walked around with a gun and he had it slung down low and tied on his leg like he's fixing to have a gunfight. Wasn't a regular police gun. It was a 45 caliber stuck down there like he was fixing to get out there in the streets that day to draw. Looked like a toothpick with a head stuck on it. He put his hat on, and I'm serious, he looked strange. I'm down at the grocery store one day, and I'm getting something to drink, and I'm talking to this guy named Audie Dean. Now, Audie worked on car transmissions. Audie took transmissions out of the car by hand. I want to get you an idea. Most people run a rack up under them and jack them down and then roll them over and work on them. Audie would put an arm up, take the bolts out, lay it down on his shoulder, walk over and set it on something, take it apart, put it back together. We're talking about automatic transmissions that weigh a ton. He'd get it back together, go back over and slam it up in the car, get it in place and hold it with one hand while he bolted it in. What I'm telling you is he had some pythons on him. I'm standing there, and this guy come in, and I said, what do we need you for? He said, well, if you had trouble at your house, you'd call me, and I'd help you. Have you ever seen somebody drinking milk, and they get tickled? Audie had just turned up a pint of milk. He gets tickled, and it comes out of his nose, and it's all over him, and he's standing there, he's laughing, he's choking, he runs out the door, come in a minute, and that guy said, what's wrong with you? He said, dude, if me and Stroop can't handle it, what are you going to do with it? Problem some of y'all have with your God is he's this little fella, and the enemy comes running up in this gigantic being, and you lose it because your God ain't big enough to take care of him. But can I tell you, if you get the right theology of your God, you understand that he is greater than anything in this world, that the God you serve is the God that holds this earth in the palm of his hand. He sits on the wings of the wind, and the clouds are his chariot. The God I serve is the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, who has all power, which is in heaven and in earth. And because he's on my side, I don't care what comes against me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. Here's the question. Then he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? See, all of a sudden he said, it ain't about what other people think. It's about what you think. And about that time, Peter jumped up and he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And about that time, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee. Amen. But notice what he says as he's closing out. He says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hello? We done got back to them keys again, haven't we? Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Hello? Come on, church. I'm not dyslexic. I read it backwards. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, that's the way it is, church. God said, I'm going to give you the ability to do it. Listen, Jesus in his first sermon, listen to what he said. I think he was letting the devil put no notice. He goes in and got there. They get him to read. It's the first time he's read in the synagogue. He takes the scrolls of Isaiah and he said, now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God said, I'm going to set you free. In Psalm 16 and 11, listen to what David said. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are the pleasures evermore. You ever understood how come David didn't have no problems? You ever understood why David wasn't scared of bears when he was out there as a kid with a sheep in the middle of the field, nobody around but him? Why the lion didn't bother him when he showed up, when he walked up to get his brother's lunch and found a giant mocking him and went down the field and whipped him? You ever figured out why David never had a problem? Because if you'll read the Psalms, you'll understand the one thing David understood through everything in his life is, my God is a great God. Listen to what he said in the 29th Psalm. He said, oh God, you ride on the wings of the wind. You walk and you ride on the on the flood. My God is able to do all things. Can you say, what are you saying? He said, I got a God that can handle it. And because of that, David said, I'm not worried about some squirrely old giant or a lion or a bear, because I know my God. Amen. When he walked up to Goliath, Goliath said, I'm fixing to wipe you out. I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. He said, go ahead, but my God is going to deliver you into my hand. And that way everybody's going to know there is a God in Israel. And it's time some of us said, wait a minute, I'm not afraid of the devil, because I got the key, and the key to that treasury said, I got power to be an overcomer. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Ooh. 2 Corinthians 10, listen to what he said. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in obedience to Christ. Did you hear what he said? He said, we got the power of God to make us an overcomer. Amen. Listen, the key that they needed, key first of all, fit the palace. So what's that? Well, it gets me into the presence of the king. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. You somebody when you don't have to ask entrance into the king's palace. You just walk up, stick a key in the door, and he's on in, because you somebody. Come on, church. Amen. Some of you older folks will remember this. Some of the young ones may have heard about it. The President of the United States is giving a speech to the American public from the Oval Office. Suddenly, in the middle of all this wonderful time of the president's speech, this little kid, about 4 years old, come walking in, slides up around, pushes his daddy back, gets in the seat, starts drawing on a piece of paper. It was little John Kennedy. What you don't know is what happened outside when the Secret Service man stopped him and said, you can't go in there. He stepped back, looked at him, and said, my daddy owns this joint. You don't get out the way, you won't be here tomorrow. That guy said, you got it. Amen. They said when he told the president, he cracked up and he said, better mind him. He's his mama's boy. Glory. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I've got the key. I've got a right to the palace. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't have to go through the Holy of Holies. I don't have to go through some man that's going to go offer a sacrifice for me. But I hear the word of God said, when I can come before the throne of God with boldness, making my request known unto him. Why? Because I am a child of God. I don't go backwards as some kind of slave hoping I get a blessing. But I hear the word of God said, I cry unto him, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Could you say amen to that, church? I got a right to the king's palace because I got the key. That key also opened up the armory. Somebody said, what are you talking about, open up the armory? Man, the Persians was having at it for a while. The children of Israel were starving to death. Persians sitting outside eating, having a big time partying, and all of a sudden trouble came. Because Eliakim got a hold to the key, and he opened up the armory, and suddenly those men went in, and there were the breastplates that had been tried, and the shields that had fought many battles, and the spears and the swords that had took down many enemies. And they prayed, and they came out and opened the gate and went out against the Persians and literally slaughtered them. For every man that was there died. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? They didn't need some new stuff. They didn't need no new way. Can I tell you, it's time we in the church said, wait a minute, this word of God doesn't have to change for this day or generation. I'm sick of these modern day preachers telling me, oh, that was for that day. There's a new translation. There is no new translation. It is the word of God, and it is that word that is tried and true will win battles today when everything else goes down. I don't need new stuff. I need what they had back then. I don't need anything different. I need the wind that got in the mulberry tree to go out against my enemies right now. And if that happens, I got as much victory as they did then. Come on, church. Well, some of y'all going, mulberry tree, that ain't the Bible. Read it. It's there. Whew. We need the key to that. But can I tell you, not only that, that key was to the treasury where God's blessings were. You got to realize that while this is taking place, the billions of dollars Solomon stacked up is still in the treasury. Hello? See, church, if we really understood this, we wouldn't be fretting tomorrow, because we understand God's got control. I sit there and talk to some of the young preachers, and they'll look at me and say, "Well, you're crazy bad, preacher." Hey, I'm certifiable. I spent 35 years with only one thing to do, believe God. I saw the thing the other day. When I get it, it's going up in my room. It's a little blue marker. Freedom never let me hang it on the wall. I had to leave it laying on something. I won't put it on the wall in my room. If you don't like it, you don't have to come in there. She fooled me, I'll put it on that door back yonder. You know what it said? We don't believe in miracles. We live by them. I mean, that's so crazy that I go preach at churches other preachers wouldn't give the time of day. We was at a meeting one time, and one of the evangelists told me, "I can't afford to go to that church. How in the world you do it?" He lived within an hour of that church and wouldn't preach for him. I'm driving 4 hours one way and preaching revival. I never forget, he kept talking about how much I got in the offering. I finally told him, he said, "You a lie." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You a lie. I preached over there one week and they didn't give me enough money to buy my gas." I said, "I can't help it if you ain't blessed." Well, that really cranked his tractor. What he didn't understand was there was 4 or 5 small churches in that area, because I went to them whenever they needed revival. Whenever they had revival at one, they all came to that church. There was another church in the town just up from there that wasn't a little church. They had some men and it had money. And when I got in the area, they would come to those churches for revival to be with me. And they would bless it. Did I go because of that? No, because I never knew if it was going to show up. It wasn't a guarantee. I went because I had a God who had promised me, "If you'll throw it all down, follow me, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you." Let me tell you something, church. If God can't take care of you, you don't need to be serving him. Come on, church. Amen. If your God isn't big enough to handle your problems, you don't need to be serving him. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you can understand the power of the key of David that God has placed into the church, it'll get you into the king's room. It'll get you in where the armor is. It'll get you to the treasury. But most of all, it'll take you to the most secret place God's got. And the Bible said, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if I can get into that place where God is, I've got the joy that is beyond anything this world can offer. Could you say amen to that? Hallelujah. But we got to have the key. And the key will also turn the motor off, so this plane will come down. Y'all sitting there trying to figure that out. If you ever been a preacher, you'd understand. Sometimes a plane gets to flying so good, you just don't want to land because you're afraid you can't get the next one off the runway. Glory. Sometimes when you load the gun, it shoots good in the office, and then the powder gets wet before you make it to church. See, church, if we get to believing that God's still God, that's the bottom line of what I'm talking to you about. Who do you believe God is? Does he have the authority that this key can place into the church? Does he have the authority to help you overcome your problems, to provide for you the needs you have in this world? And don't be like the guy that was in the flood sitting on top of the house and praying for God to help him. Helicopter came by and 2 boats come by, and he kept telling me he's waiting on God. Finally drowned, got to heaven. He said, "God, I was waiting on you." He said, "I sent you a helicopter and 2 boats. Come on, church. You got to get to that place you believe God's able. And if you really believe God's able, then you're going to let it happen. I had a friend start a church. He didn't start a church. He went to a church that hadn't ever been nothing.
Does God make you think he was the craziest guy you ever met in your life back in them days? Had a little wooden church, record attendance of 35, and he's talking about the day he might have to have two services on Sunday. And I'm like, you can't get enough in for one service. I'd go preach for him. I remember one time I was preaching for him. He told me, he said, we're going to take him up a good offer because he used to pay us to come over here. I'm serious. I remember preaching revival for him, and on Sunday night after church, we walked across the road to the store and got us a Coke and a moon pie or something and sat out there on the hill and talked. And we sitting on that hill one night talking, and he hit me with one of the big bombs. He said, I'm going to build an 1,100-seat sanctuary right here on this hill. He had a vision. Now, church, I'm a realist about some things. I looked at him, I said, dude, you could drop an atomic bomb out here and wouldn't kill 1,100 people. What do you want to build a church like that for? I remember he built a new sanctuary. Church split. Yeah, go get a job. I remember we were sitting talking one day at a restaurant, and he looked at me and he said, you may not believe it. I said, hey, I'm your friend. I'm not sitting here telling you I don't believe it. He said, well, most people don't believe it. God's going to build a church here. And I ain't leaving until he does. Now, he ain't left yet, so I guess he's still building it. But he runs 500-600 on Sunday. And I've preached in that 1,100-seat sanctuary right on the side of that hill where he told me he was going to build it 30-something years ago. And me laughing at him, and I had to apologize. Glory. Because it's happened. Because he had a vision when he went there. He believed God wanted to do something. Can I tell you, church, I didn't come here to spin my wheels and to get bowled up and go somewhere and say, wait a minute, I couldn't do it. I came here because I believe God sent me here. And I believe God sent me here to take this church to another level. I believe he sent me here to get us into the treasury and get the treasury out to the people. I believe God sent me here to see God do something in our lives and in our families. And I'm not backing up till it happens. And I'm looking for some people that's willing to put on the armor and tell the enemy outside the gate, it's a battle and it's on and we're not backing up anymore, but we're coming out and the time for your run is over. Oh. Stand with me all over the house. Somebody said, well, that devil been, I ain't worried about that dude. My God, in the last 6 months, ain't none of y'all took more shots than I have. I just wish he'd quit doing them little sucker punches and fight. I mean, he's worse than the dude fighting a boxing match, run across the ring, hits in the back of the head while you're still getting ready to come out there. Because he don't want to fight you standing straight up, because he understands if you do, your big brother's behind you. I saw something the other day. I got to find it again. It's in one of my Bibles, stuck somewhere. But it's a picture of this little old dude. He's bald-headed. He got his hands in his pocket. And he's standing there, and this little wimp demon's in front of him. He's standing there, and he got his slingshot pulled back, fixing to hit him. The dude's standing there going, go ahead, make my day. That's what's written up under the bottom. Because behind that guy's this big old angel with a bazooka handed down toward that demon, fixing to smoke him. And every time I see that, I think, that's me. And I just want to tell the devil, go ahead, make my day. Take your best shot, because my big brother's waiting. Because I ain't forgot the size of the treasury. I've not forgot the size of the God I serve. I've not forgotten where God's brought me from and what he's done for me to get me here. And I understand I got a key on my shoulders that'll get me places I never thought I could ever get, to do things I never thought I could ever do. Because I got a God that'll open the door. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and mercy. God, we thank you. Because you, Lord, are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all we would ever ask or think. God, I believe you to reach down, touch your people. God, open up the windows of heaven tonight. We put the key in the lock, we turn it. We open the door to you, God. Come in. Pour into us tonight. In Jesus' name.